You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Dortmund can do late goals. 790 or beyond in the league so far this season. Here comes Paco Alcacer! Another one!
Unbelievable!
More late drama for Dortmund in the title push.
Oh my goodness.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Quick word for Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned. Absolutely love the vehicle. It is the ultimate driving machine. The other thing I love, though, is where I bought it, Advantage BMW in Midtown. Advantage BMW in Midtown is second to none. Advantage BMW in Midtown, as you covered, with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. It's the place to get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. And by the way, with Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich playing this weekend, there's a nice tie-in there with Advantage BMW and German efficiency. Say hello to Philip. Say hello to Justin. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. With that, we bring on from Talking Fußball, the podcast. I highly recommend it. He is Matt Herman at Mr. Matt Herman on Twitter. He joins us now. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I think you tied in real well with the car ad there. Although I think BMW is probably going to be favoring Bayern Munich, considering it's a Bavarian group.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I have a feeling a few of the players are driving Beamers, right?
Yeah. They'll probably drive whatever they think is sort of sexiest.
And you liked that Kraftwerk music we brought you in with Autobahn.
Always. Absolutely always. I listen to Kraftwerk in my own time.
Incredible, incredible. And the same guy, Ralph, is leading up the band here, I think, still from the start of it, which is pretty incredible in itself. All right, let's talk some Bundesliga. Let's talk a little bit about the big one this weekend, Bayern Munich hosting Borussia Dortmund. Is the title come down singularly to this game, you believe?
I'm actually going to say no. I think that... Even if Bayern win this game, and I actually think it, more likely than not they will. I mean, they are in good form. They had a pretty tough result this past weekend against Freiburg, where they only got a 1-1 draw away. But they played well. They just didn't take their chances very well. They didn't play significantly worse than they had these weeks. And if they play that well at home against Dortmund, I think they have every chance to win. However, Bayern has a really tough run-in. They happen to have, you know, two games against two top teams for their last two games of the season. And Dortmund's run-in is a little bit more forgiving. So I think, you know, even if Bayern get a win in this and then, you know, get a one-point advantage in the league over Dortmund heading out of this game, I think there still might be a chance for Dortmund. On the other side of things, if Dortmund do get a win away at Bayern and then get a four-point cushion, I think they would be a pretty good bet to hold on to it.
We're talking to Matt Herman, Talking Fußball, the podcast. What's coming out of any of the camps here, on a Tuesday? Are we hearing any information that, from an injury perspective or anything, that kind of puts a different twist or storyline to this game?
Well, the big injury storyline to come out of Dortmund from the weekend was an injury to Ashraf Hakimi. He has been, you know, really a key performer for Dortmund this season. He's, you know, had a lot of games where he's made a pretty big impression going forward out of that, fullback spot. He's also had his mistakes, but he is a young player and you kind of have to expect that. But he has, you know, broken a bone in his foot and he's going to miss the rest of the season and basically take most of the summer to get healing. You know, he actually tweeted out a photo of himself in one of those sort of air casts today, saying that the rehabilitation starts now, which means, you know, he's looking to the future with some hope, which is good. Marco Reus had been something of a worry, not so much because of injury, but because his girlfriend had been expecting a baby, and it wasn't entirely clear when that baby was going to come, and there was some thought, you know, maybe it would happen to come on the day of the Bayern game, and he would miss that game, and, you know, all's fair because family's got to come first. But as it happens, the baby came. The baby came on this past Saturday, you know, healthy girl, everything's good. Royce is happy. He should be back ready to play, although he might be missing a few hours of sleep, considering this is his first week with a new child at home. On Bayern's side, they're looking pretty good. I have to say there's no key performers who have not been out for a while. Corin Tantaliso or Arjen Robben, they've been out for some time now. And other than that, not really a big deal. Alphonso Davies will be missing. He's got some sort of a tendon issue, but he's not really a sort of key person for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure he was going to play a part in this, right?
No, I reckon not.
So Borussia Dortmund, 63 points to 61 for Bayern. This is at Bayern Munich. This is huge this weekend. Where's Christian Pulisic in the mind of the Borussia Dortmund fans now with all these injuries?
Whew, it's really tough. I think he earned himself a lot of credit with their fan base over the years. He's put in some really important performances for them over the years, and they really love his work rate. But this season, things have really kind of gone awry for him. Not so much in terms of the hearts of the fans, because I think they still have a lot of respect for him. But I think that there is a sense that, he almost never really got to hit the ground running. And, he had a very promising start to the season, then without injured for a while, then, announced he was leaving the club and has not exactly sort of found a good run of form since then, since, the winter break started back up and there was a bit more clarity about what his future is going to be. And, I always hoped, I'm American. I love to see Americans do well in the Bundesliga. Luckily, we're getting a lot more of them coming over, so I think there's every reason to keep watching this league as an American. But I kept wanting him to sort of take advantage of whatever chances he could get, because let's face it, Marco Reus has missed some time. Jadon Sancho hasn't been in the same form in the last, several games as he was at the beginning of the season. There were chances for Pulisic to make a bigger impression, and he hasn't really taken them, and it kind of bumps me up.
Does most of Germany pull for Dortmund in this match against Bayern?
Yes, absolutely. Bayern, of course, they're a hugely popular team, not only because they have a huge area around Munich to themselves, but they're winners, and a lot of people like winners, especially young kids. Go to any city in Germany, and as likely as the local team being, the shirt that your 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-olds are wearing, it's also Bayern. However, anybody who's sort of a bit older than that, or is a fan of any other team, is pulling with every ounce of their heart for Borussia Dortmund. Not only because Dortmund is a much more sort of lovable club than Bayern, but also just for a bit of change. Bayern's won 6 titles in a row, which, people in the last several years have it in their minds that, that is the state of affairs in Germany, and that's the natural order of things. And it isn't. Bayern have been the best club in Germany for the last 40 years, but there's always been another club pushing them really hard, or for every good year that Bayern has, they'll have, a bad year on the back of it. And to see them really just steamroll the Bundesliga the last several years has demoralized people. And people had begun to think that this was here to stay. And so the glimmer of hope that we've had this year as Bundesliga fans to see another team win the league is amazing. It's a great feeling. And I think everybody really, really wants to see Dortmund win this game and win the league.
Open possibility floating for Borussia Dortmund. It's kind of youth against experience with Dortmund, the younger of the two teams. Last question before I let you go. We have watched what is an incredible rise here from Tyler Adams with Red Bull Leipzig, and they have not lost with him in the lineup since he's arrived. They're in third place. Certainly they're 11 points off the pace here. But Leipzig has been a great story, too. But in some ways, they aren't revered by certain people because of the whole Red Bull brand. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's a very funny situation with that club, because it is very clear that the aim of the Red Bull, beverage company is to use sports as a platform to advertise their product. I mean, it's a model that they use in other sports before. I mean, they have done a lot in Formula One. They do sponsor a lot of music festivals. They have, you know, come up with sort of goofball sports like those, air race where people are flying biplane through inflatable gates and weird stuff like that. And, you know, the whole Red Bull portfolio, whether it's in New York or it's in Salzburg or in Leipzig or wherever, is another means to advertise the brand. However, on the other side of things, they are using that platform in such a good way. They are basically hiring extremely smart people to coach these teams, extremely smart people to, you know, work on athletic training facilities, analytics, you know, team building in terms of roster building, scouting. I mean, this is a company that, despite the fact that there is a bit of a sort of craven nature to what they're doing in terms of, you know, sports as an advertisement for a beverage company, they're actually taking it really seriously, and they are, you know, basically putting together a truly state-of-the-art, you know, sports business. And on that side of things, it's hard not to like them in certain ways, while at the same time, they are definitely sort of going against the spirit of what German football wants to be by sort of, you know, flouting some of the ownership rules, which in Germany, this is kind of a discussion we could get very far into the weeds with. But to put things very simply, you know, German clubs have to be controlled by their members. And Red Bull has gotten around this by charging exorbitant membership fees so that there's only a few members of the club. And, you know, all the members of the club are basically people who are associated with Red Bull as a company. Mm. So there's no real membership like there's membership of Bayern Munich or of Schalke or of Dortmund, you know, these teams where the members really do have a say in terms of, you know, who's on the board and all that stuff. And in Leipzig, that's not true.
Yeah.
So people don't really like that. But yeah, at the same time, they play great football and they run a great business.
Well, and they do have a plan with players. And Tyler Adams is a great example of that because he's played through the same system at the New York Red Bulls. That probably made the transition easy. They had Jesse Marsh there, who was a former Red Bulls coach. So there is a thought process behind how they are developing players and how there is a common thread of purpose of play with all their properties. So it's not a bad thing. And by the way, Bayern Munich hasn't always been squeaky clean themselves. So let's just put that out there, though. Let's just put that out there as a kind of equalizer here. Matt Herman, we love your Bundesliga talk. He is a Talking Fußball, the podcast. I suggest watching it. He's on Twitter at Mr. Matt Herman. Matt, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll let you get back to cooking dinner.
All right, great to be here.
All right, that's Matt Herman there. And again, this is ahead of Der Klassiker between Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund this weekend on Saturday. That's on Fox. You're not going to want to miss that. And Matt with some great insight there about the Bundesliga. Before we hit a break here, a quick word here for one of our newer sponsors. Well, not really, because they used to be with the gorgeous gal, our good friend Peter. It's Hugh O'Connor's. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway. You know where the big marquee entertainment center is there? If you're driving west towards Katy, it's on your right-hand side. 18 TVs, a big screen. Houston LFC supporters group is there. So if you want to go watch a Liverpool game with great color and flavor and passion and energy, that's the place to do it. Hugh O'Connor's, go in there, say hello to Peter. They got a wonderful outdoor patio as well. But when you go in the bar, it's really cool. A lot of woods and old pictures of the Guinness Brewery and just a really, really cool spot. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. Let's take a break. More to come.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Always a good time to remind you our podcasts are at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. We get a lot of hits over there and downloads of the podcast. It's a great place to kind of listen to it on your terms. Again, here is a moment now for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, it might be a car accident, motorcycle. You might work in a plant or a refinery, or you might drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They are bilingual, I remind you. And they will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com, and they are proud sponsors, and they are the presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, and also the King's Court. The place to be in Edo is the King's Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. They've got 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They cover leagues from around the world. It's the home of a number of supporters groups in Houston, including El Batallón of the Houston Dynamo. Rooftop deck, spectacular, great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is also a winner at King's Court. Get in there, say hello to Jay and Megan, kingscourthoustontx.com. So don't forget about getting down to the King's Court and supporting those who support Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Lothar Herbert Matthäus, German football legend, also a Bayern Munich legend. 1990, he was the captain of Germany when they lifted the World Cup. 91, he was named the first ever FIFA World Player of the Year and remains the only German to have won it. He is Lothar Matthäus. I caught up with him earlier in the week, well over 300 matches for Bayern Munich. The tie-in here is that Bayern Munich will be in Houston this summer in July to take on Real Madrid at Energy Stadium. Here's my interview with Lothar Matthäus last week. Lothar, how important is it in this day and age of modern football for Bayern Munich to be in places like Houston, Texas, and play in these international tournaments in other countries for branding?
It's not only for branding. It's the same preseason for Bayern Munich after their holiday, and they have the chance to play in Houston against Real Madrid. It's one of the top games ever what I was playing in my long career. I played a couple of times against Real Madrid, and we can speak about a friendly game, we can speak about a preseason, but it's a tough game for the teams, for the coach, for the fans, and the preseason is a preparing for the season. It's the most important time to make great good results later. And for this, we are happy to have the chance to play against Real Madrid in Houston. We have another two games in Los Angeles and in Kansas City against Arsenal and against AC Milan. But I think the toughest game for Bayern Munich is the second game in Houston. And for this, we are very happy to have the chance to play far away from our country in North America, full stadium against the best team, club team from the last 5 years.
Lothar, what's one of your fondest memories from playing against Real Madrid?
I told you, two big clubs with a long history, two big clubs with a lot of titles, national titles, international titles, Champions League winners, World Cup winners in the team, and the same on the bench with Zinedine Zidane. It's a great name on Real Madrid. Niko Kovac has not this care like Zinedine Zidane, from Bayern Munich, but he has the same long life in the soccer business, like a national coach from Croatia, captain of the Croatian national team, player from Bayern Munich, and another teams in the Bundesliga. And I think this club has a history. And I can tell you a nice story. I find it out 10 minutes ago. My last official game for Bayern Munich was on the 9th of March, 2000, and I played against Real Madrid. I won 4-1 in the Champions League game. One day later, I was moving from Munich to New York and played my last season in the MLS for the Metro Stars New York. This means Real Madrid and myself, we have a nice memory, especially for me. My last game in the stadium in Munich, official game for Bayern Munich, was against Real Madrid before I was moving to U.S.
By the way, I called some of your games on television when you were playing for the Metro Stars in Major League Soccer, so I remember your time here well. Bayern Munich was formed in 1900. For us here in the United States, that's hard to believe, maybe, how old the club is. How has the history and the tradition been kept alive so well by this club?
But I have to tell, we have another clubs in Germany that are older than Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is not the oldest club, but we have a long history. And Bayern Munich, till today, is the club who won the most championship titles in Germany, the most Champions League title for a German club team. And Bayern Munich has always the best player in the last 40, 50 years who was playing for the German national team. And when Bayern Munich played well, the national team was profited from this too. Bayern Munich has really a long, long story, and you need time to explain everything. But when a player from Germany has the chance to play for Bayern Munich, I think he will play for Bayern Munich, because a player likes to win titles, and the easiest way, and the toughest way too, is to play for Bayern Munich and win titles.
We are talking to Lothar Matthäus ahead of Bayern Munich's visit this summer to Houston to play in the ICC against legendary Real Madrid. And, of course, Lothar is one of only three men in soccer history to have played in five World Cups. When you look at the game now, how much has it changed from the day you played it?
Especially the speed is changing a lot in the last 15, 20 years. The organization from the team, the players play different systems, the players can play different positions, many, many small things changing. But on the end, you have to score the goals, then you win the games, and then you win the titles. But the game is much more faster than 20 years ago.
Let's talk about the current Bayern Munich and maybe some of the players we're going to see. We saw that Lucas Hernandez has just been signed from Atletico Madrid, a huge signing here with big money, a defender. What are some of your thoughts on the current Bayern Munich?
Bayern Munich is not satisfied to win only the nationals, and for this you have to invest in the team. And I think with Hernandez, we get a World Cup winner from France from last year. And he is a young player, he's a talented player, and I think he has high potential. And with this potential, maybe you can make your dream true to win the Champions League. And this is a title what Bayern Munich like to win every year. This year it's not anymore possible, because Bayern Munich lost against Liverpool in the second round of the Champions League. But this was motivation enough to go to invest money to buy a high level of player. And now in Bayern Munich, we have three French players who was winning the World Cup 8 months ago in Russia.
Yeah, the other one of the others, Benjamin Pavard. What are your thoughts on him, the defender?
Yes, it's the same like Hernandez. Pavard is playing in the Bundesliga by Stuttgart, and sure, Hernandez has more experience. And we have with Toulis another guy from France. He's now long time injured, and with this player, Bayern Munich will make attack to the English Premier League clubs and the Spanish clubs from Barcelona and Real Madrid in the next years to win the Champions League title.
We're talking to Lothar Matthäus, the legendary German captain. 90, Germany won the World Cup. He lifted the trophy as the captain. Do you think back on that moment a lot, Lothar? Because what a spectacular moment that was.
It was a very emotional moment, especially where World Cup was in Italy, final was in Rome, and in this time I played for Italian club, for Inter Milan, and this was like a home World Cup for me in this moment. And sure, when you are the captain in a team who win the World Cup, and you get the World Cup from the president, from FIFA, and for your team, for your country, for your fans, was a very emotional moment, and I will never forget this moment till today.
Do you often reflect back on things in your career, or do you look ahead constantly? Because, you know, we've heard of so many footballers that end their career and they can never really replace it with anything, because there's nothing they feel can feel as good as playing at these high levels and being successful. How has that occurred for you post-playing career?
I know the career has sometime an end when you come in the age, and I was enjoying every day to go to the training. I was enjoying every day when I had a game with my team, and I was enjoying each moment till end of my career. But I'm still close to the soccer because I work for the DB, I write for the German newspapers, and I present Bayern Munich like an ambassador now in the summer tour for this ICC Cup. I present the German Football League and the German Football Federation. I'm very happy with life, and I will nothing change.
Lothar Matthäus joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We really appreciate the time, Lothar. When you transitioned into being a manager, how difficult was that? And how long did it really take for you to understand what a manager was about?
I was the captain in a team. And when you are captain, you are mostly you think like a manager. And I was thinking about the tactic. I had conversation with my coaches, and I think this helped me later a lot to be a manager. And this was something different because you was this guy who has to care about everything, and this is only about the team. You have meetings with the manager of the players. You have the meeting with the sponsors. You have the meeting with the president, the owner of the club, with many things. You have to do more like a player. The player is coming to the training session, make his training 1-2 times per day for 1.5 hours. He gets advice what he has to do. But you have to plan everything in the details, and not only for your team. You have to look at another team. You have to plan the future, the young generation player, new player. You have to sell the player. It's a very, very tough job. And for this, I'm really happy for a coach when he has done the right results. These coaches are working from the morning till the evening. They are dreaming soccer in the night. I'm very happy for them when they make the results.
Lothar Matthäus joining us. Legendary career at Bayern Munich. Over 300 appearances. Bayern Munich will be in Houston to take on Real Madrid this summer, July 20th. Lothar will be in Houston. Lothar, have you ever been to Houston, Texas?
Never. And for this, I'm very happy to come to Houston on the 20th of July. Very, very happy to be. It's an honor for me, first, to be with Bayern Munich on this tour, and second, it's nice for me to see Houston. And for this, I love soccer so much because always you get a new experience, you can see something new. And I heard Houston is a beautiful city. Houston is a city where the people like soccer, especially the Mexican people. And I'm sure we will have a full stadium when we have our game on July 20 against Real Madrid.
Yeah, and you know what? We have a lot of Asians, Nigerians. We got communities from all over the world here that love the sport. And by the way,
yeah, but I hope they're supported by Munich, not Real Madrid.
Well, you know, I think you're going to find some Germans finding their way down here. By the way,
okay.
Historically, a lot of Germans settled in the state of Texas and in and around Houston, and there are towns around Houston with very German names. So, no, don't worry. We got one or two German restaurants,
then,
too.
Then I will see the German and the Bayern Munich flags.
Yes. I'm going to make sure of that. I'll be the one guy in the upper deck waving it. No, we're gonna make sure. There'll be a lot of Bayern Munich fans here. I don't think any question because of the history of the club. One or two more questions, then we're going to let you go real fast here. Current German national team obviously has a lot of the great Bayern Munich players. Talk about what you saw in that 3-2 win over the Netherlands.
I'm very happy. We have now a good result, not only a good game. Sure, it was not a great time for German football, for the German national team the last 8 months, especially the result during the World Cup make us upset. We cannot be happy with the performance of the team, but sometimes happen like this. But we forgive the player because I'm sure they will show something different in the future. We had a great result against Holland in the first qualification game for the European Champion 2020. And I think we have talented players. We have young players. We have players who play with passion. We have really good young players. And I'm sure soon they will make the result what we wish for the German football.
Lothar Matthäus, more German caps than anyone else. And he is... went on to 9 major international tournaments. Again, he captained the 1990 World Cup team. Anything else you want to say to Houston, Lothar, concerning Bayern Munich and the visit here this summer? So excited that this historic club is going to be in Houston.
I think when you love soccer, when you like soccer, when you're a fan of soccer, you have to watch the game on July 20 in the stadium in Houston between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, I will tell you, and you can trust me, will come with the first team. Everybody who is ready to play will be in Houston on the pitch.
Lothar, thank you very, very much for coming on the program here. We really appreciate your time, and thank you. And we look forward to your visit to Houston.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll see each other soon.
So that was my interview with Lothar Matthäus, regarded as one of the greatest midfielders of all time. You'll remember in his career, started as a box-to-box midfielder, a captain, a leader for Germany, and then became a sweeper at the end of his career because of the cerebral side of the game that he always carried throughout his career. Well over 300 caps for Bayern Munich, scoring 85-plus goals for them, and 150 caps for Germany, remains the most all-time for that great soccer-playing nation. That is no easy task, to win 150 caps for Germany. All right, we will take a break here. Before we take a break here, just a reminder, tomorrow night, it's a great event, 6:30 to 8:30. It'll start right at 6:30, Federal American Grill on Shepherd. It's a night of just conversation with Bill Worrell, the Houston Rockets announcer, Bill Brown, the former Astros announcer. These are play-by-play men and myself. Very casual. We'll talk experiences behind the mic. We'll talk professional sports, travels, road, athletes, you name it. We'll talk it. You'll hear some stories you've never heard before. But it's very intimate. You'll get to meet all the people involved. Tickets $100. This goes back to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund and the Snowdrop Foundation. You can get your tickets at Eventbrite. But, boy, we would love to nail down another half dozen people, and it'll be a wonderful night for us if we can. So if you're thinking about a good night out, great food, three-course meal, whiskey tasting, and or wine, it will be a wonderful night, and I look forward, hopefully, to seeing some friendly faces there. All right, stay with us here, because as the Daspit Law Firm continues to present Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, when we come back, we're going to visit with a Canadian soccer legend. I'm not going to tell you her name. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the side of the beat, yeah. Another one. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Ah, what a show it's been tonight. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And we are going to finish it in big style here tonight. A couple of things, though, I want to remind you about. Tomorrow night, it is called A Night for Champions. It's 6:30 to 8:30 at the Federal American Grill, 510 Shepherd. This is going to be hosted by the Snowdrop Foundation and the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. These are both 501c charities. Myself, Bill Worrell of the Houston Rockets, Bill Brown of the Houston Astros. These are legendary play-by-play men. All of us going to be telling stories about the road, our experiences calling professional sports, maybe how we got into it, travels, road, athletes. In my case, calling some pretty unique international games and some pretty unique and semi-dangerous environments. So it's tomorrow night, Federal Grill. It's a great spot. It's $100. You can sign up at Eventbrite. You can go to Soccer Matters Facebook page. There's all kinds of ways there you can sign up as well. Still a couple of seats left. We'd love to have you in there. The meal is a three-course meal. It's going to be a remarkable night. It's going to be a fun night. Very intimate, very casual. We'll start right at 6:30. 8:30, it's done, so you're not going to be there all night long. There's a whiskey flight tasting. I think you can have wine if you prefer wine. But the food is excellent. And I'm looking forward to hearing Bill Worrell and Bill Brown and being a part of it as well. So going to be a great night. Again, all for kicking pediatric cancer. Kevin Klein is going to be there as well. The radio host, who's a big part of the Snowdrop Foundation. All right, soccer fans, I got a new sponsor to Soccer Matters, Tri-Eagle Energy. Now, there's synergy with their energy because they're also the official provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and BBVA Cup of Stadium. So let's talk energy. Now, there are a lot of energy providers out there. There's always different offers, and they range from, you might get free weekends, free days, cash bonuses. You know, on and on it goes. They tell you all these great things that can happen. Now, you may have fallen for one of these offers, and then a couple of months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. It's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They're going to keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. There will be no gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. So check out Tri-Eagle Energy, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use the promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, and our thanks to Tri-Eagle Energy. Which leads us to our final guest of the night. Now, this is a remarkable woman when it comes to world soccer. She is approaching 200 caps for Canada. She has now been signed by the Houston Dash. She's one of a, you know, 7 or 8 World Cup players that the Houston Dash now have on their roster. Sophie Schmidt is a Canadian international, has won bronze medals at 2 Olympics. Very, very talented soccer player. And Sophie joins us now.
Well, Sophie, juggling coming back to the NWSL with the Houston Dash and also the Women's World Cup this summer. Full plate for you, but some thoughts on it and how exciting it is for a woman that's now pushing 200 caps for Canada.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be back in the NWSL, back in the U.S. I think it's one of the most competitive leagues. And there was a stint there I wasn't getting games, and we do have the World Cup coming up, like you said. So it's important to be training day in, day out. I think we have some very good quality players on this team, so being in that training environment and getting games and to prep for the World Cup, but then also looking ahead, you know, for the season, we want to do well, and I think we have an amazing team and we have high expectations.
Canada's won 2 bronze medals. Obviously, you're in a group with Cameroon, New Zealand, and the Netherlands, but there was a coaching change since 2015 when Canada hosted the Women's World Cup. How is the new coach, and how are things maybe potentially different?
Yeah, it was a surprise for us that John made that move. Kind of, it's understanding. We always thought he would progress. Disappointing because we loved him at the same time. But Kennett is an amazing coach. He was our assistant when John was around. And definitely different atmosphere, different feel, just their personalities. Kennett is way more easygoing. But he has the same expectations of us on the pitch, and I think that's important. But I think you can expect the same from Canada. You know, keep building on our past performances, World Cup and Olympics. And I think we're going to have some exciting soccer moving into the World Cup. And our team connection is stronger than ever.
If you're at your best, what is a Canadian national team going to look like at this Women's World Cup?
That's a good question. I think other teams are going to be afraid to play us. I think one of our DNA since all time has been that physicality on the pitch, so that's never going to disappear. So when you see us play, we're going to bring that. But I think we've added to that the technical and tactical understanding of the game, so there's going to be moments where we're playing beautiful soccer, being very dangerous, scoring goals, and yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I want to ask you, through your lens, you've seen the women's game grow immensely. I certainly have. The Frances, the Spains, the Netherlands have now, as amazing soccer cultures, committed to the sport. How does that make you feel? Because, you know, in some ways, you are a trailblazer in the women's game internationally.
It's so exciting. I mean, you've seen the crowds the past couple of weeks in some of the club matches in Europe, Juventus, in Spain, even in Mexico not too long ago. It just speaks volumes to how the game has grown, the appreciation for it as well, the women's side of the game. And yeah, it humbles me to see how far the game has come, and I think we're not finished. There's more to come, and it's also awesome to see the inspiration for the young girls, knowing that there is a career and a future for them that lies in soccer.
Sophie Schmidt, Canadian national team women's player, also with the Houston Dash. You can see her locally here, HoustonDash.com. But she is going to take a break to go play in a little thing called the FIFA Women's World Cup this summer in France. Does the NWSL have to be careful here now, seeing these crowds that are being pulled in places like Italy, Spain, Mexico? If the salaries ever follow the attraction of the crowds, could the NWSL be in a little bit more competition for players potentially?
Potentially, yes. I think
that's a healthy thing, right?
It is, and I think it's good pressure that, you know, that there's expectations to have big crowds. Portland already draws those crowds, and sometimes, you know, the odd club here, there, you know, for the individual games. But I think if we can get that consistently, that's also going to draw better players towards the NWSL. So I think it's the pressure is a good thing, and it only will increase the game here in the U.S. and the draw. And as a female soccer player, yes, the crowds are exciting, but it's also you want to be playing in some of the best leagues. You don't want to be in a league that's you're going to blow a team out every game 7-0. So I think that's important still for the U.S., that it's competitive. I think that's an upper hand they have, but they definitely, it would be amazing to see them draw more crowds. It would be phenomenal.
Sophie Schmidt, Houston Dash, Canadian national team joining us. To that, it's the perfect segue into you playing at Frankfurt in Germany. And tell me what that was like, and maybe compare the quality of play or the playing style to the NWSL.
Yep, Germany was a great experience. I was actually surprised. They were very physical, a very physical league, mm-hmm. But different in the sense to the U.S. I found that the U.S. was very transitional, whereas in Germany it was very tactical, thoughtful soccer, but like a very physical element to it. And everybody has such a deep understanding of the game because they've lived it and grown up with it since they were babies. It's just part of their culture, and that's really neat. And the league is strong. You know, the top team and the bottom teams, you know, the bottom team can knock off a top team, and I think that's exciting. And then there's also a different element playing in Germany. You know, I had the opportunity to play in Champions League, which is also exciting. Mm-hmm. And so it's just being a part of that whole soccer culture, you know, in the women's game, but then also the men's game, and to see how excited people get for that. It was a really cool experience, and I'm thankful that I got to experience it.
Distinctively different playing styles from some of the teams you played in the Champions League?
Yes. Yeah. We played against, I think, like a Norwegian team. Mm-hmm. And I think I've never walked away from so many, like with so many bruises in my whole life. I think their tactic was like,
you know,
just
there's a lot of Vikings in their past. You know that.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, the Barcelonas that are very quick and tactical, like so technical with the ball. And, you know, so you can start seeing that in Spain's game on the women's stage as well. But yeah, there's so many different playing styles, and I think that's, you got to stay adaptable as a team, you know, to adapt to your opponents.
So I've noticed that you're a woman of real faith. Tell me a little bit about that and how that parlays into your soccer career.
Yeah, it's been, you know, an integral part of me growing up. My family is very religious, and yeah, it's kind of shaped me to who I am today, and I don't think I would be where I am without it, but yeah.
Last one before I let you go. Rachel Daly, you'll be playing against her with England. It's kind of interesting. You're both flying out of Houston at the same time or in and around the same time to go meet in Manchester and play. Has there been a lot of talk amongst the ladies? Because you got a number of teammates that are going to be in the World Cup with Australia, obviously four Canadians, England. Has there been a lot of talk amongst you guys or you gals in training about the Women's World Cup this summer? Is it hard to stay focused kind of on the here and now in Houston knowing France is ahead?
I don't think there's been any talk of the World Cup between us, at least not that I've been a part of.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we want to keep our secrets, you know, from the opposition. But no, it's exciting that we get to train with them every day. You kind of maybe learn their habits a little bit too, just in case, you know, in the back of mind you get to play them. I think Rach took a PK the other day and I was like, okay, she goes this way. Like, just mental note. No, but it's exciting, and it always adds another element if you do meet them on the world stage in the World Cup that, you know, you have somebody on the other team. I mean, once you cross that line, it's all business, friendship aside, but it's also just a testament that you get to train with world-class players every day.
And we heard that James Clarkson and his staff, Eddie Robinson, Monica Gonzalez, we've heard the training has been very competitive.
Absolutely. It's been fun to be a part of, exhausting at times, but I'm very excited for the season to kick off soon.
Sophie, best of luck with the Dash. Best of luck with Canada. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So our thanks to Sophie Schmidt, the Houston Dash, the Canadian international. She is off on international duty now as teams are preparing for the FIFA Women's World Cup this summer in France. By the way, I'm fortunate enough to have the call with Julie Foudy on ESPN this Sunday. That national broadcast is going to be very interesting. The U.S. will take on Belgium as they continue their preparations under Jill Ellis. But what's also interesting, there is a huge celebration around the 99ers from that team that beat China in front of a sold-out Rose Bowl to win the Women's World Cup, and how they've influenced the game internationally and around the globe. And a lot of those fruits of that labor and that day will be on display this summer in the Women's World Cup. So looking forward to Sunday, and looking forward to Dortmund and Bayern Munich this weekend, and many, many other things. So that does it here tonight. Reminder, podcasts are at podcastarena.com. We get a lot of attention over there. Get over there. Also on iTunes. Always a big thank you to producer Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, who was a big part of our team here on Soccer Matters. We remind you, get over to Facebook Soccer Matters, because over there I'd love to see some people picking up some of the Soccer Matters t-shirts, because 20% will go back to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund to benefit the Texas Children's Hospital. All right, until next Tuesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.